desk in the back, there's these Lookout magazines. If you don't pick one up, you're missing out. This is a wonderful study guide. Has different articles through the week, different things to direct your attention. But it also has another part that encourages, it has a prayer journal, but it has another part to it that encourages you to do a Bible study with someone and to share some of the content of the magazine. So if you haven't been getting one, please take one. They're back there. If you want to get one on your phone or your tablet, we have it. You can do that. They're free online. It's just lookoutmag.com or .org, I believe. So wonderful opportunity, and it's something that carries on for the week. So please use these. Otherwise, we might stop getting them, or they might disappear. So use them and make them available and share the message that is available to them in them. Tonight, we're going to be looking at a passage out of 1 Peter. And I've been reflecting on two different conversations in my mind with regards to Scripture. One conversation is the conversation of verses that talk about our relational stance between one another and the Lord, and our knowledge-based stance and where we should be in wanting to study, to show ourselves approved, as the verse of Scripture says. But tonight I want to reflect on a passage of Scripture that I believe directs us to be active. It's so easy to become kind of, in a sense, enjoy the blessings and not really participate in the activities. It's almost we have created a spectator culture in America. I often hear the conversation when you hear two people talking about their sports teams, and oftentimes they'll say, "Well, we won the game." Well, were you on the field? No. Then how are you saying we? Or, we scored, did you see how we scored the winning touchdown? Well, wait a second. Again, were you on the field? And right now, the NBA Finals are going on, and there's a conversation going on with this because there's a rapper by the name of Drake who's Canadian. And I know this probably not in most of your wheelhouses, but he's a spectacle on the sideline. And he's actually turning a lot of people off from the NBA Finals because he's acting like he's a player, but he's not even on the team. And so often we have created a almost like a spectator sports, even in our walk with the Lord. We will watch TV and see a great message, but then we don't carry that message out into the fields where it needs to go. You know, what God gives to you from someone else is a gift for you to share, to pass it on to someone else. In 1 Peter chapter 1, Peter writes this. Now it starts off in the passage with a simple word that says, therefore. And that's an interesting word because oftentimes when you see that word in Scripture, that means one thing. And what does that mean? It means to keep everything else in mind and don't forget what I've already said, but we're moving on to another part of this. And so with that said, we have to kind of look through some of the other verses of Scripture that prepare us for that therefore. In verse 2 of 1 Peter chapter 1 says, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, by the sanctifying work of the Spirit, to obey Jesus Christ and be sprinkled with His blood, by grace and peace be yours in the fullest measure. So Peter is writing to the church, to the Christians that are scattered throughout Asia and throughout the area there. And he's telling them that God knew what he was doing. That none of this is by accident. All this was prepared ahead of time. God is not surprised by the details. He had a plan from the beginning, and he is still going according to his plan. And that not only is it he that is a part of this plan, but the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is part of that plan too. And they are in line. They are one in mind. They are doing exactly according to the will of the Father. And then verse 4 goes on to say, to attain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. What a beautiful passage of scripture there that gets our mind focused on where our stock is. I don't know how many of you mess with the stock market or worry about the stock market, because most of you are already enjoying the fruits of your labors and you don't have to worry about that kind of stuff, right? But I know in difficult times when the stock markets go up, people are pretty happy. But when the stocks go down, people are often worried. And so often we put our trust in our concerns on the things of this world. But we have a blessing that is to come that is uncomparable, and that we can put our full trust in, and it is our inheritance. And I love that part of this verse. It says it is imperishable and undefiled. It's not corrupted by this world. It's not tarnished. It's perfect. Verse 5 goes on, who are protected by the powers of God and through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last times. God is waiting for that moment when Jesus is going to return, and all the matters that we think are so important are just going to fade away. All those concerns that are out there that are going on in the news and all the worries. I don't think you can watch the news without getting concerned. Now it's the measles all over again that we're concerned about. Will measles spread into our area? And you know, should you get revaccinated? All these concerns and worries that are constantly going on. But when Jesus comes and returns, and God reveals the salvation that is available, that has been made available to us on His reveal, all that will be forgotten. Nothing else compares. Verse 7, so that the proof of your faith be more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So do you put higher stock in your faith than in the value of gold? You know, Amazon, the owner of Amazon, he's made a fortune in this world of selling in commerce, and he converts a lot of his money that he makes into gold, because he does not depend on. With a gold standard, he doesn't depend on the American economy. Gold's always going to have a value here in this world. But here Peter's saying, your faith is more valuable than gold. Do you have that? You put that much stake in your faith? Verse 10 goes on, As to this salvation, the prophets who prophesied of the grace that would come to you made careful searches and inquiries. That means that they investigated all the matters in preparation of Jesus' coming. When they prophesied and when they shared a message of their prophecies, they shared it based upon their understanding. They didn't just simply accept it, they shared it with hope and expectations of something to come. And verse 11 goes on even further. It says, seeking to know what person or time the Spirit of Christ within them was indicating as He predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories to follow. And in verse 12, it was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you. You ever thought about that? The prophets that have come before us, Ezekiel, Daniel, why am I having problems with names right now? Elijah, Elisha, Jonah even, all those prophets, They were doing something. They were serving our purpose because they were preparing the way. They were preparing, keeping the ground fertile for the Messiah to come. They were trying to keep the Israelites in line, and so often it took their sacrifice. It took them the shedding of their blood. Not one of the prophets were accepted with honor. Many of them were killed for their willingness to obey the Lord. And then we look at the example of Elijah, who went through a terrible bout of depression. You know, when you want to talk about mental health issues, you can look at the Bible and see an example of a mental health issue. Elijah had a mental health issue. Why? He goes from Mount Carmel, being there when the fire from heaven is called down, to running in the cave, begging the Lord to take his life. All because Jezebel wanted to kill him. He had some serious mental health issues, and we see that in his life. Depression. And it's interesting when you talk about depression, because depression can take over your whole body. When you are going through a period of depression, it's not just your emotional problems, it's a physical problem. It's an all-around problem, because it really zaps you and takes you on a ride. And we see that in his life. And so we see in this verse 12, that the prophets were serving us in preparation of the coming of the Messiah. And then going on from there, it says, which now have been announced to you through those who preach the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look. The angels of heaven were longing to see Christ and his revelation and him revealed to the world, and the salvation that was going to be made available to us. And then we get to verse 13, and we deal with all that to prepare ourselves for verse 13. Therefore, Peter says, prepare your minds for action. That's an interesting passage of scripture when you really think about it. He is telling us to prepare for action. Do something. Get ready to be used. Get ready to put this faith that you have received, that all these people have been a part of preparing you for. Get ready to use that faith and to bring glory and honor to God. Keep sober in spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. See, when all else fails, that day when Jesus returns and the clouds part and the trumpet sounds, all our hope will be satisfied. And nothing else will matter. Nothing else that we went through, the troubles, the trials, the difficulties that we face in this world, will all fade away when our King and our Savior returns. You have that hope. You put that trust in what is to come. If you do, then follow the instructions that Peter has given us here. Prepare your minds for action. Keep sober in spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts which were yours in your ignorance. But alike the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves. Be holy yourselves also in all your behavior, because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. You hear those words as Peter tells us to prepare for action. get ready to use what you have been given. We're not spectators. We're not here to watch the world perish. We're not here to watch people leave this world without knowing Christ. We're here to share Christ at every opportunity we are given. Even though it may cost us our heartaches, it may cost us the difficulties that may come, we're not here to be spectators. We're here to be active in sharing our faith. We're here to keep our focus on what is to come in Christ Jesus. And in doing that, we are to be active in sharing our faith. We are to be sober in spirit, which means we are to keep our eyes on what the Spirit is leading us to do. Not fall into the distractions of this world. There are many distractions of this world. I can tell you from my experience with the TV and everything, I am so glad Game of Thrones is over with. I don't even know what it is. I just know that it was a TV show, but it's on all these headlines and all. It's a TV show, and people are so wrapped up in it. Why do we get so wrapped up in things that aren't even real? But yet we lose focus on what is real. And what has been proven, what we have seen from Scripture is true. It's been validated. In listening to one of the conversations that I've been sharing with you on the internet with regards to apologetics and Ravi Zachariah, one of the things that he was talking about was even an atheist or an agnostic cannot say Jesus wasn't real. There was a conversation between an atheist radio broadcaster brought in a fellow atheist who was pretty well renowned and pretty well known. And the man said, well, you must have a real hard time dispelling the myth of about Jesus, don't you? And the well-known atheist looked back at him and says, no, wait a second, you can't call Jesus a myth. He was a real historical figure. You can't deny that he existed. He's not a myth. The problem is, what do we do with him? And I think that goes back to the burden of the church, because we have a responsibility to fully believe and fully trust in Jesus and put our confidence in the hope that has been given to us in Christ Jesus. But instead, we're more concerned about what we are going to do as a church instead of what He has done for us. And we have a responsibility to put our focus and our priorities in order. And what is important? What is important is bringing the message of salvation to those who haven't heard. And be active with sharing our faith. Being active with not compromising with the world. But as this verse of Scripture says in verse 15, but be alike the Holy One who called you. Be holy yourselves also in all your behavior. Because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. What does that mean? That means the standards of this world doesn't matter to me. I have a responsibility to follow the standards and the will of my Father in heaven. To do what this book tells me to do. To live my life according to its directing in my life. To be engaged with the Holy Spirit through the Word of God. Being active with the Word. And not simply be a spectator of what the Word says. But be a participant in what this Word says. Verse 17 concludes this section. And it says this interesting passage. If you address as Father the one who is impartially judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves in fear during the time of your stay on earth. I like how that is worded, how that's translated there. Conduct yourself in fear during the time of your stay on earth. We're not here for this to be it. We're just here for a while. But we have been promised that eventually one day we'll take our final breath from this world and we will be with our Father in heaven for all eternity. Right now is just a stay. I grew up in Jacksonville and I had a lot of opportunities to meet people, and you get to know people, and 4 years later they're being transferred somewhere else. Mayport, NAS, all the different military bases brought in all kinds of people for you to get to know. But you didn't get a chance to really get to know them because they were only there for such a short time. Because they only had a stay there. They didn't live there. They didn't set up roots there. They didn't get locked into a life there in Jacksonville. They were just visiting. I know the term, there were kids that were military brats or whatever you want to call them, I don't know. But it made me think about this verse of Scripture, and reflecting on this verse of Scripture made me think about, we're only here for such a short time when it compares to eternity. Eternity has no end. But yet we get so locked in the comforts and the concerns of this world, we don't keep our focus on the hope of what's to come for eternity. Being in the presence of God, enjoying His favor, worrying about what concerns Him instead of being concerned with the cares and concerns of this world is what we should be about. We should be about the concerns of our Father in heaven. For those are the concerns that eternally matter. That matter for all eternity. Whether a person has come to hear the message of God's salvation or not. So often we lean on the idea that we go into this idea, well, they had to have heard about Jesus. Maybe they haven't. We don't know. Unless they've heard it from you, you can't be sure they've heard it at all. And I have to take a little step back sometimes. And I was thinking about this in regards to a comment I was reading earlier today. And one of the people who gave their life to Christ and became a Christian under the direction of sermons that they were listening to from the fellow on TV. And somebody responded, well, it's a shame that he had to hear the message from that heretic. What a shame. Now, I don't know where, in my opinion, whether that man's a heretic or not, but I know this, in Paul's words, whether in selfish ambition or vain conceit, Christ is being preached. So yes, Christ is being proclaimed on the TV. Wonderful. Wonderful. That's good news. But let Christ be seen in you so that they hear the full message of the gospel. Not just the parts that are missed, that are left to the airwaves, but the parts that are all here. Be prepared. Be active with your relationship with God. Grow in understanding of who He is in your life. And look forward to that day that trumpet blasts. And we are called home for all eternity. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we praise You and thank You.